I believe I'd have you to stand on the Word of God. I really am glad that I know I'm saved.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing can wipe that out.
Amen.
Verse number 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples are gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that water, that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You may be seated.
Amen.
Jesus here, his last actions were to tell a man, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Every move that Christ made, every word he said, every direction he mentioned, had an eternal meaning.
Right, sir. Amen.
Nothing that he ever said or did was a filler. But everything had divine and eternal meaning. And we're brought here into a meeting between Christ and a woman alone. And I want to say to you that unless you get with him just between me and you, just between him and you, there'll be no salvation.
Right, preacher. Amen. Right. Yes.
And Christ is going to work on her. Now, you understand that if God wants to leave the rules of the Bible, he could save everybody in America tonight. All he'd have to do is say, you're saved.
Yes.
And that'd be it. But there's some rules in the book about people being saved. You don't get saved by being baptized. You don't get saved by folks are reading to you and ask you if you believe this and that. But it's a deal between God and a hell-bound sinner.
Yes, right.
And Christ is going to take his time. He doesn't rush this lady.
Amen.
And there's no rushing through to salvation.
Yes.
Every person that gets saved goes through the same process. Everybody gets saved has to get saved just like I did.
Yes.
And there are no exceptions.
Right.
And he's going to deal with this Samaritan woman. And it's a strange thing here. She's not a Jew.
Right.
And God's putting forth a message. Not only he's just not dealing with this woman. He's given a message to his disciples and to us that would read this scripture, that God's going to deal with who he wants to deal with when he wants to deal with them. And God's going to deliver her. Now, it looks like here, in just reading along, that he's meeting up with a stranger. But God's never met a stranger.
Amen.
And he knew this lady before she ever left the house.
That's right.
And I think now, I'll talk to him about it in glory, and he knew she was coming to draw this water.
Yes, sir.
Before he got to the well. But he was weary, showing his human side here now, and then he's going to show his divine side when he gets to dealing with this woman. And you've got to understand that he knows you. He knows about you. He's been one of you, one of us. Now, this woman's, she's a bad woman. I'm just going to say that. Everyone, there's no such thing as a good sinner.
Right.
In the way that we look at it. I know some men that even though they're not been saved, they're pretty good neighbors and all of that. Right. But if they were good, real good, in the eyes of God, he wouldn't need to save them.
Right.
But you see, there's an inward man and there's an outward man. And you can be pretty good on the outside, but still be lost.
Right. Right.
And God don't save the outside, he saves the inside.
Right.
I wish I'd get across that to everybody. Now this woman's coming in the heat of the day.
Yeah.
Evidently she's got a bad reputation and she's staying away from the rest of the women. Now that's just, I'm thinking that's right. And I thought this afternoon over there, Brother Larry's taking it out and I got out on my knees there in front of the chair and talked to him about this woman. He remembers her, you know.
Yeah.
And I want him to tell me about her. And I'm impressed that he knew all about her, and he went to the well, stopped at the well in order to meet her, and sent the disciples away so that she wouldn't be ashamed to come and talk to him. If they'd all been there, she'd have probably never done business with him. Now, when God deals with a sinner, he deals with them individually, and I don't understand just exactly how God does it, that he changes you before you ever get saved.
Right.
I don't mean he changes you into a saved condition, but he will affect you with conviction, and you're going to have a different attitude toward God and God's way before you ever come to an altar.
You're right.
Now, God's going to, I believe he's been dealing with her already. And he just simply says, I want a drink of water. And she says, that's strange, and it is, that you'd ask me of a Samaritan to give you water. Now, God wants to save. God died for everybody. And he's still looking. Now, God don't have to look for a sinner. You say he came looking for me. He knew where you were. And he wants to save sinners. That's why he died.
Amen.
And he wants to save this woman. She's pretty bad, but God saved persons a whole lot rougher than she is.
Yes.
Now, Lord, I thank God for saving me tonight.
Amen.
Just down yonder on the hillside, a plowing with a team of horses, didn't care anything about anybody or anything, and didn't think I'd ever make it out of LaRue County, and my brother's mean and going to hell, and I thought that's a lot for me. My daddy's a good man, the finest Christian I ever knew, but I thought they'd made an exception for him, but I was bound to live on the hillside and plow with horses all of my life and have nothing and barely a shelter to cover me and didn't know I was going to get a mansion. I'm about to have a Tuesday night trip. I'm glad God still deals an old sinner. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that will reach down at him this day when the hierarchy is covering the earth and everybody seems like it's a getting rich. I'm still glad he goes to boys and girls in a low-down condition and speaks to their heart and bids them to come unto me. Oh, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm glad God that's a God in heaven. They ain't looking over nobody and under nobody. He knows exactly where you are and what you need, and He can never let take care of your problem if you come under the conditions in this Bible. Oh, I'm glad that I know Him. That's a strange thing He met at the well. He knew how He was going to deal with her. He knows how to deal with each individual.
Yes.
I've seen Him break old sinners' hearts, ain't you? Just really old, ragged, mean sinners that I thought would never get right. I used to work with an Apache Indian. He didn't care nothing about God. But some way or another, God put me in favor with him. I was holding a revival in Louisville, Kentucky. And I told him, I said, I'm holding a revival where. He said, are you? And I said, yes. He asked me where it was, and I said, I know right where it is. And he said, I'm going to come tonight with a half a pint of liquor in my pocket. And when you get up, I'm going to start laughing and hollering at you. And I said, come on. You home service, come on. And I got about ready to preach, and then he comes. So now I'm about the second seat from the back there. And I forgot about him. And the Lord helped me preach. And I went back. Well, he ducked out as soon as service over. And the next morning, he come to where I was, and I said, I saw you there last night. He said, yeah, I was there. And I said, why didn't you laugh and holler at me? And he said, I aimed to, but something choked me. And I say, God knows how to handle things, you know. And God wants to save your young'un. Y'all believe that? Every one of you in tonight, daddies and mamas with troubled families and troubled hearts, and a lot of folks may be visiting and got church trouble. And I'll tell you, our nation full of church trouble. I'm not talking about Catholics and Methodists. I'm talking about Baptists. Independent Baptists and Southern Baptists. There's about 29 different kind of Baptists that I know of, and they all like to fight. I want to tell you that there's a God in heaven who wants to straighten out your problem, and He's going to straighten this woman's problem out. I wonder how many of you has got somebody close to you that's lost. Would you raise your hand? I want you to look yonder. Oh, you reckon God can reach them?
Yes.
You reckon the same hand that put the stars and the moon and the sun and said shine and turned them on? You reckon that He that made America and settled it and raised us up, you think He can get to your child?
Amen.
Yeah. If you ain't careful, now you'll lose hope.
That's right.
I'd like to meet this. I'll meet this lady here one day. I won't ask her about her mom and daddy. I don't guess they knew God either. I think maybe she went back, and I like to think good thoughts went back and talked to them. Maybe they got saved. That's not beyond God.
No,
sir. I'll tell you, it's something special to be born again.
Yes, sir.
Everybody that says that they're born again is not born again. Every Baptist that say they're born again is not born. Some of the meanest people in the world. Used to be 60% of the people in prison would answer to being a Baptist. I'd say it's 90 now. But I want to tell you tonight, there's hope. Don't you stop praying and lose hope for your loved ones. God's in the business of saving old sinners. Now, He's going to deal with this woman. He knows exactly what to say to get to her. And he knew what to say to you.
Yes, sir.
And I've told you this. I was going to Mount Moriah Baptist Church and lost. And has a modern Baptist church, liberal, and some good people. My mom and daddy, my daddy's a deacon. Now, he wasn't then, but he was later on. And they called Brother Jones. There's two Brother Joneses. One's liberal, one's old-timer. named to call the liberal one, and they made a mistake and called the old timer. And then there's two backward to tell him they got the wrong man, but they didn't get the wrong man. They got the right man. And he come and preached to me. And I got under conviction. Oh, bless his dear name. I'm glad that God's kind of sneaking sometimes. And he'll foil all our plans in order to get a hold of a sinner and bring them to their knees. I've seen old men and old women get right with God when it looked like there wasn't no hope. And leave their drunken mess and come to the altar and get born again. Ain't you seen them? I get saved. I went to a church over across from me in the sticks and preaching the word of God. And I went there the first night and requested prayer for Sam Cross. Said, I want you to pray for Sam Cross. After a while, somebody else got up and said, I want you to pray for Sam Cross. And I guess four, five, or six that night, and the next night, there's even more than that, stood up and said, pray for Sam Cross. And I asked the pastor, who's Sam Cross? Said he's 78 years old and lives up yonder on the corner. And said, for some reason or other, the church has got a burden for Sam Cross. And along about Thursday night, I guess it was, the preacher looked at me and said, there's Sam Cross. Come and sat down back in the back, two or three seats in the back, and had a cane a hobbling along. And I preached, and the power of God fell. And I looked, and there's 15 or 20 back there around him praying. And I seen him dawdle out in that aisle and come down through here, that cane, just kind of like, you know, because they want me to. And he got down right here somewhere, and I looked and said, the tear falling off his cheek. I got down on my face, and I hadn't been there no time till I heard a commotion, and I got up, and he'd thrown his cane, and he said, he's got me. He's got me. Amen. I'll tell you, when he gets you, you've been got. Ain't that right? Lord God have mercy. If he can get a 78-year-old man, he can get an 8-year-old child. I don't believe in dealing with little old young'uns now, 3 and 4 and 5 years old, that have no idea about being dead in sin and going to hell and needing a Savior. But I'm going to tell you, when God's dealing with them, when they get right, thank God, they'll be easier to deal with. I had some tame blackberries. First I ever seen, I thought this is wonderful, you know. I'd pick them old blackberries and got scratched and fight the snakes and the June bugs. And I got them back in my backyard, them great big old blackberries. And they began to get black. And I went out there and pulled on them, and they just wouldn't pull. And I just went ahead and pulled some of them. And the sourest thing I ever tasted. But I just waited and waited and waited. And I went back out there and I could smell them before I got to them. And I just tickled them and they fell off in my hand. You know what I'm saying? Don't pick them sinners green. Amen. Let God mellow them down. Ain't that right, Brother Larry? I mean, just let God mellow them down. And I'm going to tell you, when a sinner is under the conviction of the Holy Ghost and God's putting the pressure on him, don't hurry, try to hurry it up. Let God mellow him down. Amen. Josh Pruitt was in my church just a little boy, and he's the one who come to me Sunday, and I was about ready to quit the church, and I preached the extra up that morning, and I thought, well, this will do it. They'll ship me out of here now. And I just said, well, y'all stand. They stood. I said, I'm done. Y'all just go on home, and nobody moved. And I thought they had misunderstood me. And I said, y'all dismissed, going home. Nobody moved. I heard the patter of little feet and looked down. Josh was standing there, had glasses that looked like the bottom of a Coke bottle, and got a hold of me and said, I love you preaching. And I said, y'all step back down. I'm going to preach again. But they come to me one day, and his mama said, Josh is crying this morning. He's 9 or 10, I guess. He said, what must I do, preacher? I said, leave him alone. Yep. He cried the next Sunday, and then the next Sunday, and his daddy come to him and said, Josh in pretty bad shape. I said, good. I said, what ought we do? I said, don't do nothing because you can't do anything.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Just left him alone. One day I was a preacher and got on and gave an invitation. Here it come. Old Josh. Got down there on the floor and I pray in the can on. Everybody in my church, when a sinner comes, everybody comes, got any sins. I'm gonna tell you, when sinners come in this altar, gets on this altar, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, you got a desire to see somebody else get saved. And that's the most important thing goes on at the church house. It's not singing the carrying on and not preaching, not supposed, but dealing with a sinner.
Yeah.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Well, and Josh prayed, and after a while, I mean, he's down there for 30, 45 minutes. We just leave him alone. I mean, the workings of God's between the sinner. And I don't allow nobody to read to him or nothing. I figure God knows how to deal with them better than I do.
Amen.
And after a while, Josh just stood up. And I said, what about his son? He said, no, still lost. And I seen he's really, really low, really under conviction. And I said, Josh, you think God will save you? And he said, yeah. And I said, when do you think he'll save you, Josh? And he said, right now. And back down he went. And directly he come up a hollering, saying, I'm thankful God saved my soul. And he's in England now in Air Force. But we record every Sunday, and they send him a tape every Sunday. Thank God.
Yeah.
And that the workings of the Holy Ghost on sinners. Now, if you're here tonight and you're lost, God loves you.
Yeah.
And if I give an invitation and God's dealing with you, you ought to come to this altar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're not under conviction, you ought to come and bow and say, God, help me, and get up and go back to your seat.
Yeah.
But great God don't walk out them doors without making some kind of move.
Yeah.
That God can deal. Everybody will know that you're interested in getting born again.
Yes.
That's it. That's it. Getting born again. That's it.
Yes.
It's not high school. It's not college. It's not the ball game. It's not getting a PhD. It's a getting the SAVED. And nothing else is going to get you across the river and in the arms of God. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Now listen, this poor woman, she's headed for something. I want you to know, if you're in here tonight and you want to get saved, you're headed for something.
That's right.
You ain't never had anything like this.
That's right.
I mean, when you get born again, you're not in heaven, but you're headed there, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it.
Right.
You say, what about John over yonder? John got saved, and he's out there laying drunk tonight. I don't believe John ever got saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He come this order and act like he got saved and go out there and live like he always did. He is what he always was. But if he gets born again, he'll still sin once in a while, but he'll hate himself for it and pray for forgiveness and get right again. Amen. I'm feeling like preaching a little. Praise his holy name that he's still in the business. He's not gone out of business. He ain't going to go out of business. When he goes out of business, we're going out. And God still saves old sinners. Now he's a prayer hearing, prayer answering God. Now I want to drop this in on you. You can pray all you want to, and you ain't going to change God's purpose.
That's right. That's right.
Now you better get this.
You're right.
I don't care what hell you pray and how many of you prays and how fervently you pray. He ain't going to stop his purpose. But you probably can change his actions.
Right.
Now you've all been saved a while, and you think about that.
Yep.
You might change the way he's going to go.
Yeah.
But you ain't going to change his purpose. Ain't no use. There ain't no use to him. You praying all you want to it, I ain't going to make it into heaven. You ain't going to get no answer. That's already been said.
That's right. Amen.
And God's going to save this woman. And his disciples going to learn lessons. And she goes to talking to him, you know, like, what are you doing dealing with me?
Yeah.
You know, I've asked him that same question. Why are you dealing with me? He knows about the plow days. When I'd sit in the furrow, sat on the side of the furrow with my feet down in the furrow and cry like a baby because I thought I'd never get anywhere. Nobody in my family had ever been anything. But one day crying on the hillside, He saved my soul.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you, being born again is a happening, supernatural happening.
Yes, sir.
That'll change you forever.
Right.
It's not just coming up here and accepting Christ.
Right.
And signing in.
Right.
Thank God, the signing that goes on in glory is what you want.
Right.
When He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ain't that wonderful?
Yes.
Such a creature as me that God saved me. And I'm going to tell you, I'm still saved tonight. And I wasn't nobody in the plow furrow. But I'm somebody tonight heading somewhere.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen.
One of them says, there's nothing to draw with. The well's deep. Now, y'all better believe that's right. That sinner ain't got a thing to draw with.
Right. Redeemed.
He can't do a thing to save himself.
Right.
And the well's too deep for him.
Yes, sir.
To get it by himself. I'm going to tell you, we need more churches like this one right here.
Amen.
That still believes in the old time way.
Yes.
That's got sense enough to understand that our forefathers knew exactly what they was doing.
That's right.
When they was praying in the woods.
Amen.
Amen. Praying in the plow furrows. Going up and down through the country.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, they'd pray, the revival would come on, and in daytime the evangelist and the pastor and a bunch of deacons and members would walk the roads and fields. Somebody said, I've been praying for John Brown. I want us to walk to where he is and pray for him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And burdens on their heart. Y'all have burdens. You ever get burdens for sinners? They went and had a burden for old Billy, the preacher, Brother Cottrell did, had a burden for Billy. And Billy called him one night and said, Preacher, I'm in trouble. And he said, good. He said, I want you to come and pray for me. And he said, I want you to come and pray. And the preacher said, that'll be good. But he said, if you get saved, Billy, you'll have to get saved in the hog pen. We'll go to the hog pen and pray. And he said, I ain't a praying no hog pen. A nasty, rotten, stinking mess. I ain't going to pray. And Brother Cotter told him, he said, go on to hell then. And he said, and a few nights later, you see, get under old time conviction. You don't get drunk and get it off of you.
Amen.
He called him again a few nights and said, I'm in bad shape. And I want to get saved. And he said, all right, I'll be over in a few minutes and we'll go to the hog pen. And he said, I ain't a going to no hog pen. But he let him go about 2 weeks and knock on the preacher's door. And he said, I'm going to hell. He said, what are you doing with them gum boots on? He said, I'm going to the hog pen. I'm going to tell you, when you get ready and really ready, God will save you. But the well's too deep for you to draw yourself. You can't make the trip as far down as you're going to have to go. Amen. And tell God you're sorry till He knows you're sorry. Convictions are not just a word. Something, brother, happens inside of you that makes you sorry for your own self and your ways. And I promise to God it'll be no more.
Amen.
Whew. I'm glad I know that. Sinner, I'd like to see you saved tonight. I don't know how many grown people I've seen get born again. There's a lot of sham business going on.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You're right.
I was in a meeting one night, and there's a black-headed, fine-looking man come. Got out on his knees right there. Grown man. Folks were looking at him, and the pastor come by. Said, who is it? And said, he is pastor of the church up here. I got down beside him and began to pray, and I seen that he was so tore up that I couldn't help him much. I just quit messing with him and prayed to God. He prayed for a long time and come up and his face in a mess with tears and had mucus and said, I'm all right, preacher. After church, I said, what's the matter with you? He said, I left a gun on my bed tonight and wrote a note before I went back and was going to finish it. But he said, I got in tonight.
Amen.
and I changed my route.
Thank God.
God saves old sinners.
Yes.
He'll save you. I don't have to tell you this woman got right. You know she left her water pots.
Right.
And you will too when you get born again. You'll change your purpose. You know why? She had to tell somebody what God done for her. I talked to Bob Garrett, an old missionary to the Mexicans. And I said, Brother Bob, you getting very many saved? He said, no, I ain't getting many saved at all. And he said, looks like it don't help my crowd when one of them does get saved. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, they'll get saved and stay around a month or two and come to him and say, preacher, I got to go home and tell my people.
Thank God.
Oh, would you like to get saved? I'm going to tell you, you see the devil say it ain't real. It's just another bunch of stuff they're all hooked into, and the preacher's got them hypnotized, you know, and it won't be long till he'll fall, and they'll have a fight, and they'll get him another, and just a place to go. And I'm going to tell you some of that goes on, but I'm going to tell you Jesus Christ is more real than the flesh on your bones. And he'll save your soul and make you happy. I was preaching one night, and there's a lady come, a young lady. She's in her teens, I guess, and about here in the altar. The preacher told me, she said she wouldn't have come to the altar tonight if the Lord hadn't been dealing with her. He said, that's the most backward girl I've ever seen in my life. He said, you can't hardly get her to talk to you. She won't eat at the same table when we go over there. And said, she's come to the altar tonight. God must be a hold of her. And it wasn't very long till that girl come up from there. We all prayed. That girl come up there, and she went to clapping her hands and going way down and going way up. And they said, something's happened to her. I said, what do you think she's up here for? Thank God. And I reckon there was a happening. Listen, that inward man is dead and trespasses and sins, and God speaks to it, and the gospel brings it to light to make it know it's lost and undone. And then God saves us a new man inside. A new man! What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I'd have done kicked out a long time ago, hadn't been for him to lean on. He still saves on sinners.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? Well, I don't know how far along you are. Being saved is instantaneous.
That's right.
You don't get saved today and get more saved tomorrow. But you sure got to be under conviction by the Holy Ghost before God's going to save you. And you get that by hearing the gospel.
Yeah.
And then there's repentance.
Yes,
boy, that's a rough old road. But at the end of that, just like a little old child looking away and saying, goodbye, devil.
That's right.
I found another father.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
and God will save you.
Yes.
But it's a rough road. Yes. It ain't nothing you just say, I believe. You can say that till you get blue in the face.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing going to happen to you. So you absolutely let him be the Lord of your life.
That's right.
Now,
yes.
I'm a witness that that's true. They told me lots of things before I got saved. They told me there's a Santa Claus. Told me there's an Easter Bunny. How about that? And I believed that.
Yeah.
Then I found out this lying to me. Then they told me there's a man named Jesus that could give you eternal life. And I said, that's another one of them big lies. But one morning down on the hillside of praying and saying, God, live or die, sink or swim.
Yes.
I come to stay till I get the job done this morning. The next thing I knowed, I was singing Amazing Grace. Woo!
Yes! Yes!
Well, I'm about to give out, but I'm going to tell you this. old Brother Jones started the Jones University down there. What's his name? Bob Jones University. He is old and in his last days, and they had a commemorative service for him because he's going to house. They said, "Dad, we want you to say something this morning." A big crowd there. He come to the pulpit and said, "Well, the boys want me to say something, and I don't really know what to say. It's some kind of special day." But he said, "There's one thing I can tell you. When I was 12 years old, boy, and I got under deep conviction, the man of God preaching, and I went to an altar and got saved and born again. And I'm so glad tonight. I'm so glad." And they all cried and whooped and carried on. He acted confused and he said, I'm glad to be here tonight. I don't really know what to say to you all, but I want to tell you one thing. One night when I was a 12-year-old boy, I went to an altar and God done something for me that's still a bubbling in my soul." And they all shouted again, hooped and hollered and carried on. And he looked around his boys and looked back out and said, "One thing I want to tell you there, motioned me to sit down. I want to tell you about when I was 12 years old and God saved my soul."
Amen!
Amen. I guess I told you last night about old Brother Duell, Sewell. 98 years old, did I tell you last night? He died last week, 98 years old. They couldn't understand him on Saturdays, a moment carrying on this. His son told me, he said, "Up in the afternoon sometime, I heard him say, 'We got saved over yonder in the back of Patch, and I'm headed out of here.'" Once a mumbling again. On Sunday afternoon, the nurse went and sat down by his bed. He is restless. And after a while, he looked and noticed her, and he said, "Well, I'm going to stay with y'all today and tomorrow. But I got word this afternoon they got my new house built, and I'm moving out Monday." At 2 a.m. on Monday morning, he checked out of here and went to his new house.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Glory to his name.
Yes.
I want to give you an invitation tonight. If you're in here and just think you're saved, you're to come and get really born again. I realize after you get saved, the devil will whoop you and you'll say, "I don't know whether I got it or not." I know the devil does all that kind of stuff.
Sure, yes.
But I'm going to tell you, if I had to think so, I'd come and find out.
Right there, right.
But if you're lost, he ain't going to save you until you say, "I know what kind of shape I'm in. I'm lost."
Right. Amen.
Oh, would you come tonight while the forces of heaven are still dealing with you? You won't be able to claim church membership nor belonging to the Masonic Lodge. I used to belong to the Masonic Lodge, been through all that, and I'm not preaching against that tonight. But I'm saying that ain't going to help you.
No,
you're going to have to find out whether it's God or the lodge or heaven or hell.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to depend on that little puny experience you had to get everybody off your case. Went through church membership and baptism, and you go home at night and the lights go out and you say, "Oh Lord, I don't know where I'm at."
That's right.
You don't have to do that. I got so ashamed to him now. In the night I wake up. My wife done moved out in the other room. Me a kicking, getting up and praying and carrying on. She said, "You're killing me." But I sang to him, "If you was there, you wouldn't care much for it, but me and him liked it all right."
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, you can know you're saved.
Yes. Amen.
And sinner, you hear me.
You get saved tonight, and tomorrow you'll never say, I wish I hadn't done that.
That's right.
Yes, sir. You'll never say, I had to give up a lot of things to get what I got. You'll say, thank God I got to give that mess up. Everybody stand, please, sir. Will you come to this?